All right. Who is warm tonight? Raise your hand if you're warm. You're warm? Okay, warm. Who's cold? Raise your hand if you're cold. No one's cold. Two people are cold. You're cold-blooded. Who's lukewarm? Lukewarm. I'm just saying spiritually speaking now. All right, let's go ahead and turn the air on, maybe get some air flowing. I like it colder because then you don't fall asleep on me, so that's good. All right, well, we talked about this morning that I was going to be preaching tonight on the subject of things to do daily, things the Bible teaches us to do daily. And I actually had a different sermon planned out for tonight, but I just didn't feel like I had enough material, and I also kind of went a little close to what we're going to be talking about next week. So I decided to go with this sermon, which is something I've been having just kind of in the back burner for a while, and I've been wanting to preach a sermon like this and just have an opportunity tonight, kind of a free night, we're in between series, to be able to deal with it. And you know, as a Christian, we ought to ask ourselves, what is it that God wants us to do with our lives? Not just Sunday, not just a Wednesday, but you know, every day. What is God's desire for us? And it's interesting because as you study the Bible, you find that there are certain things that God tells us to do every day, things he wants us to do daily. So tonight, I want to just go as quickly as we can, give you several things that the Bible teaches us that we ought to, as Christians, be doing on a daily basis. The first one is found here in Deuteronomy 17. If you look at verse number 18, Deuteronomy 17 and verse 18, the Bible says, "And it shall be when he..." Now, the "he" there is referring to a future king of Israel. These are instructions that are being given to a king of Israel, and they didn't have a king at this time. God was just, you know, getting them ready for the fact that one day they may have a king, and he's telling him, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the priest of Levites. So notice verse 19, "And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life." Notice that the Bible is telling us here that the king was to read therein, in the law of God, the word of God, therein all the days of his life. Now, before you say, "Well, that's for kings and I'm not a king," remember that we have been made kings and priests unto God and his Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, anything that the Bible says is for a priest, is for a king. Those things can apply to us in a sense that we can learn from them or see things that God expects from us. And here, God tells us that when he looked down at one of his kings, he expected them to read therein all the days of his life. And I want to start off tonight by saying, hey, number one, things that God wants you to do daily is read the Bible daily. God expects you to be reading the Bible every day. And you would say, well, what is the purpose of me taking the time every day, taking time out of my schedule on my own, on a day that's not a church day, on a Monday and on a Tuesday and on a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday, and opening up the scriptures and reading? Why would God want me to do that? Well, the answer is there in verse number 19. Notice what it says. "And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord, his God." See, you learn from the word of God, and you learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. See, you say, why read the Bible? That you would learn to fear the Lord, that you would keep all the words, and that you would do what the Bible says to do. See, there really are two types of Christians in this world: those who read the Bible and those who don't. And you say, well, how can you tell the difference? When you look at a Christian that fears the Lord, meaning he's not, when he knows what God has commanded him to do, and he's not going to cross God on that, he's not going to ignore God on that, he's going to say, you know what, that's a commandment of God, that's something God has commanded me to do, that's something God wants me to do or does not want me to do, and I'm going to do it. When you see someone who fears the Lord, when you see someone who keeps his word, when you see someone who does this, they do what the Bible says, you probably have a Christian on your hands that reads the Bible. When you see worldly Christians, and they're just in all sorts of sin, they're talking to you about sinful things, they don't even know it's sin, you know, they're not bad people, but here's what you need to understand: you're talking to a Christian that doesn't read their Bible. See, God wants you to read your Bible every day so that you can learn, so that you can grow, so that you can understand. Go to the book of Acts, in the New Testament there, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts 17, well-known passage. You know it, but let's look at it together. Acts 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 10. Acts chapter 17 and verse 10. Notice what the Bible says. Acts 17 and verse 10. Acts 17:10 says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews." Now he's talking about the Christians there in Berea that Paul is ministering to. Verse 11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica." Why? "In that they received the word with all readiness of mind." That's the preaching. They were ready to receive the word. They were ready to be taught. But notice, they did more than just receive the word. They did more than just go to church. They did more than just download MP3 sermons. They did more than just watch sermons on YouTube. They did more than just receive the word with all readiness of mind. The Bible says, "And search the scriptures," notice this word, "daily, whether those things were so." See, here you have Christians that are searching the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And I want you to notice that God expects you to read the Bible every day. Why? Because you cannot expect church and the preaching of the Word of God to feed you the Bible. See, I get up and preach here, or men get up and preach here, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but that's not enough. You need more. We're going to do our best to teach you the Bible and feed you, you know, great nutritional, spiritual meals from the Word of God. But you need to learn to feed yourself every day. And I will tell you this, there is a big danger, in my opinion, in our movement. And what I mean by that is churches like our church or churches similar to our churches, in the sense that we've got a whole lot of YouTube watchers. And I'm not against that. You know, we put our preaching on YouTube and we put our preaching online on website, and there's many people that listen to the preaching, and we get emails and we get thank yous and all of that, and praise the Lord for that. But you know what I've noticed is you talk to a lot of people in our type of churches, and they know a whole lot of, like, you know, specific doctrines. I mean, they can tell you why Born That Way Ministries is all wrong, and they can tell you about all sorts of specific things, and they can tell you about, you know, why it's not pre-trib and why we should and have altar call. But then you talk to them about just like general Bible stories, and it's like you got a deer caught in the headlights. And you know what I realize is, oh, it's because these people listen to a lot of sermons, but they don't do a lot of Bible reading. I mean, they just don't, you know, you talk to them about just, you know, general stories from the Bible. And look, we all don't know everything. And from time to time, we forget things or don't remember people's names. But you talk to people about basic things, and it's like, I've never even heard of that. But you say, where does that come from? It comes from a life that is not balanced. And look, I'm all for listening to preaching online. I think it's good for you to do that, but not at the expense of your Bible reading. And you know, if you are taking time to listen to preaching online from other churches or this church or whatever, but you're not taking the time to read your Bible every day, shame on you. You are not doing right. You are doing wrong. Because you will not find one command in the Bible where God says, hey, make sure you get your daily dose of YouTube. You won't find that, but you'll find many scriptures where people are being admonished and exhorted to read the Word of God, to spend time in the Word of God, to make sure that they are searching the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And you know, today there's a lot of churches that are actually afraid of their people reading the Bible. Pastors are afraid because of the fact that they don't preach the Bible. You know, they want to preach only certain parts of the Bible that are, you know, nice and that are warm and that make you feel good so that you won't leave, so you won't get offended. But they're actually afraid that somebody will read the Bible and then ask them about it. But you know, what we have found here is that if you have Christians, if we can talk you, encourage you, get you to read your Bible every day, we will have healthy Christians. We will have strong Christians. It will actually make our church a lot stronger to have as many of you reading the Bible as possible. That's why we, you know, every January we encourage people to read the New Testament in the month of January. 9 chapters a day in the month of January. Why? Because we want you in the Word. We want you searching the Scriptures. Why? Because God commands you to do that. And I want to encourage you tonight. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but you know if you are spending time in the Word of God every day. And if you're not, I want to encourage you tonight to make a choice and decide, you know what? I'm going to take time every day. First thing, you know, do it however you want. And my family and you know, my wife and I, we have found the best thing for us to do every morning that the Lord allows us to, and you know, and we fail, of course, from time to time, but we try to just get up early, you know, before the kids get up, have a cup of coffee, and we just sit at the table and we just read the Word and spend time in the Word. And I have found that if you don't get it done early in the day, you're not probably going to get it done at all. So I want to encourage you to read the Bible daily. God expects you to read the Bible. And often you find Jesus rebuking people. You know, and I found that in our ministry. People will come to me with all sorts of doctrines that are not scriptural, and they think, well, we should be doing this, and we should be doing that. And I want to talk to them like Jesus, like, well, have you not read? You know, ye do err not knowing the scriptures. Why? Because people don't know what the Word of God says. Look, when you read the Bible, you will begin to realize the emphasis of the Word of God is in the gospel. It's in soul winning. It's in doing the things that God has called us to do. So, number one tonight, you ought to be reading the Bible daily. Read the Bible daily. Search the scriptures daily. Spend every day. He shall read therein all the days of his life. You're there in Acts 17. Keep your place there in the book of Acts. We're going to come back to it. But go with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 6. And look at verse 9. Matthew chapter 6. And I realize this is not deep, but it's good for us to just be reminded. Hey, God wants you to read the Bible every day. God wants you to get up. The Bible, the Word of God commands you to get up every day and read the Bible. You ought to read the Bible daily. Number two, you ought to spend time in prayer daily. You ought to spend time in prayer daily. Now, here's what I know. Most Christians don't read the Bible. And hopefully that's not the case at Verity Baptist Church. I think we've got a great church here and people who really love the Lord. And I think probably most of our church people read the Bible every day. At least that's what I like to think. But I know that if you were to just, you know, look at most Christians in the world today, most Christians are not reading the Bible every day. But when you look at the people who actually have a daily discipline of Bible reading every day, you know what you find in that group of, you know, good Christians, above and beyond Christians, the ones that have actually taken the time to develop a daily Bible discipline in their lives, what you find is that in that group, most of those people aren't praying every day. And look, if you find a Christian that reads their Bible every day and prays every day, you find a very rare Christian. Because the truth of the matter is, most people aren't praying. And those of us that are praying know that we could be praying a lot more, spending more time in the Word. But you know, God wants us to be spending time daily, not only in Bible reading, but in prayer. You say, well, where can you find that in the Bible? Well, look at Matthew chapter 6. Here's one example. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. In Matthew 6, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. And I want you to notice what he says. He says, but after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now before you start thinking that we're supposed to repeat this prayer, realize that in the verses just before this one, he has told them to not have vain and repetitious prayers. All right? In fact, the context is he's telling them, hey, don't pray vain and repetitious prayers like the heathen do. He says, don't just be, you know, repeating the same thing over and over and chanting things over and over. He says, when you pray, let me give you an example. Let me give you a pattern how you should pray. He says, after this manner, therefore pray. And then you've got the Roman Catholic Church that says, hey, I got an idea. Let's take the prayer, the pattern prayer he gave us, and let's repeat that over and over. You know, let's chant that over and over. And it's like, good night. He just told you not to do that. Amen. You know, and then they want to sit there and go, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. I don't know what they say. I'm not a Catholic. But, you know, hey, that's not what God wants us. God doesn't want us reading prayers. God doesn't want us chanting prayer. The time of prayer is for you to get alone with God and communicate your heart to him. And this example here, Jesus is just teaching us an example, a pattern as to how we should pray. But I want you to notice one of the things that he tells us we should pray. In verse 11, notice what he says. He says, give us this day our monthly bread. Is that what he says? Give us this day our weekly bread. Is that what it says? Do you guys have a King James Bible or not? What's it say? Give us this day our what? Daily bread. Notice that Jesus taught in his prayer that we should be praying for the sustenance, for the resources,
for our needs of that specific day. Now you say, well, why would Jesus tell us? Why would Jesus not say, hey, pray for the monthly, the bread you need for the month. Pray for the bread you need for the week. Pray for the bread you need for the year. Why would he not tell us to do that? And here's the reason I believe is because if he said, hey, pray for your monthly bread, you know how often we pray? Monthly. Pray for your weekly bread. You know how often we pray? Weekly. You know what Jesus said? Hey, pray for your daily needs. Why? So that you'll get down on your knees and pray every day for those needs. You say, why? Because I believe he wants you to pray daily. He wants you to be going to him in prayer daily. You don't have to turn. I'm going to read for you out of 1 Thessalonians. Go to the book of Psalms. If you open up your Bible just right in the center, you're more than likely following the book of Psalms. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, famous verse, easy to memorize. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Pray without stopping. Pray without halting. We ought to be in a constant state of prayer, and we ought to be praying every day. Look at Psalm 86 and verse 3. Psalm 86 and verse 3. God wants us to pray every day. Every day, God wants us to go to him in prayer. Every day, God wants us to go to him crying out to him. Psalm 86, look at verse 3. Notice what the Bible says. Psalm 86, 3. Be merciful unto me, O Lord. Notice what he says. For I cry unto thee daily. He says, every day I come to God and I cry unto him and I ask him for my needs and I ask him for the things that I need from him. And I cry to him, not weekly, not monthly, not on Sundays, not before I... He says, hey, daily I cry unto thee daily. Go to Psalm 88, look at verse 9. Psalm 88 and verse number 9. Psalm 88, 9. Notice what the Bible says. Just flip a few pages over. Psalm 88, 9. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction, Lord. Notice what he says. I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. And you find that that idea of stretching out your hands to God in prayer, like a child would stretch out their hands to their parent when they have need. And God, here we're told that daily he calls upon him. Here's the question I have for you. Do you call upon the Lord daily? I'm not talking about for your salvation. Although look, after the day of your salvation, you call upon the Lord to be saved, and then you should be calling upon the Lord every day of your life. Asking him for your needs, crying, praying to him. Look, there's always something to pray for. There's always someone to pray for. There's always something to cry unto the Lord for. And if you say, well, I don't know what to pray for, take one of those prayer sheets we give you every Wednesday night and pray for your church family. Well, pray for your pastor. Pray for your loved ones. But here we see, I have called daily unto thee. So here's the question I have for you. Do you read your Bible every day? If you don't, I want to encourage you, start reading your Bible every day. Set up a time and an appointment with God where you'll take time to open up the Scriptures and spend time reading the Word of God. And here's the next question. Do you pray every day? Do you take time to cry unto thee, unto the Lord daily? Have you called daily upon the Lord? Go to Psalm 72. Look at verse 15. Psalm 72, verse 15. Psalm 72, 15. Psalm 72, 15. Notice what the Bible says. Psalm 72, 15. And he shall live, and to him shall be given the gold of Sheba. Notice what the Bible says. Prayer also shall be made for him continually. Again, you see an example that we should be praying continually. We should be praying. There's always someone to pray for. There's always something to pray about. And let me just say this. And here's the honest truth, and you may not connect this, but you want to know the reason we don't pray? There's one reason we don't pray, because we are proud people. Because the moment that you get yourself in a bind, and you realize, I can't get myself out of this, I can't work this out, I can't manipulate the situation, I can't fix this myself. You know, the first thing we do as Christians is we get on our knees, put our hands up to God, cry unto God, and pray. But you know, the truth of the matter is, if we were smart, we would realize that we need God every day. Amen. That we need God for everything. It's not that, man, I'm just going to try to live this life and I'm going to try to be the best that I can on my own. And if I need God, I've got a lifeline. No, you should realize every day that if I'm going to live for God, I'm going to do it through the power of God. And there's always a reason. There's always a time. There's always an opportunity to pray. So I want to encourage you. You ought to be reading your Bible every day. You ought to be praying every day. And if you're not reading your Bible, establish a time where you'll read. And if you are, hey, great. If you are, you're one of those few Christians that actually reads the Bible every day. Praise God. But let me ask you this. Are you praying every day? Are you praying every day? Because that's even more rare. That's even more scarce to find a Christian that reads their Bible and prays every day. So number one, read the Bible daily. Number two, spend time in prayer daily. Number three, go to Psalm, you're there in Psalm 72. Look at verse 15 again. Psalm 72, 15. And he shall live, and to him shall be given the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually. Notice the last part of verse 15. And daily shall he be praised. Not only are we to read the Bible daily, not only are we to spend time in prayer daily, but we should praise God daily. And I want you to notice the connection in this verse between praise and prayer. He says, prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. So there's a connection there between prayer and praise. And we'll see that here in a little bit in the book of Acts as well. Look at Psalm 71, verse 8. Psalm 71, verse 8. Now, what does it mean to praise God? It means to tell God how great he is. Tell God how wonderful he is. To be grateful and thankful, like we talked about this morning, for the things that he's done for us. Psalm 61, look at verse 8. Notice what the Bible says. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Here, the psalmist is saying, hey, I've got to perform my vows daily. How do I do that? By praising his name every day. Why? Because God wants us to praise his name daily. You ought to read your Bible daily. You ought to spend time in prayer daily. But you ought to praise God daily. Go to Psalm 150, the last psalm. Psalm 150, real short psalm, six verses. Psalm 150. Now here's what I want you to understand, and here's what I want you to think about. Think about this. God expects you to praise his name every day. Now look, when things are going well, when you get that raise or you get that bonus, when things are happening that you want to happen, isn't it easy to praise his name? And God wants us to praise his name. Look at Psalm 150, verse 1. This is a great psalm. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Look at verse 6. Let everything that hath breath, you know what that means? If you're alive, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. He said, look, every day, you say, well, we're supposed to praise daily. Yeah, every day you wake up and you've got breath, praise the Lord. Every day that you get up and you are alive, God expects you to praise him. Now, here's the thing. Praising God is not a problem on the good days. The problem is on the bad days. When things aren't going well. When we lose that job. When our health goes down, when our relationships are falling apart, even on those days, God expects you to praise him because he wants you to praise him every day. Go to Acts 16. If you kept your place there in the book of Acts, Acts 16, let's look at this in the life of Paul. Acts 16. Acts 16 and verse 22 talks about Paul and Silas. Remember Paul and Silas, the missionaries? Acts 16, verse 22. Notice what the Bible says. Acts 16, verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates rent their clothes and commanded to beat them. Look, anytime you attempt to do something for God, people are going to rise up against you. Anytime you attempt to do something for God, people are going to attack you. You're going to have enemies. If you are serving God, Joel Osteen, and nobody attacks you, you're not serving the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible, the Christ of the Bible, ended up offending the world so much they killed him. And if we're serving him and we're following him and we are continuing his message ought to be as offensive. And here you have Paul and Silas preaching the gospel, preaching the Bible, and guess what? People don't like it. They rise up against them. They command to beat them. Look at verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, but look, don't just, it's easy to read that and miss that. What does that mean? That means these guys got whipped. That means somebody took a whip and beat them on their back and laid many stripes upon them. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. But notice how Paul and Silas respond. I wonder if you and I would respond this way. If we just got beat and put in prison. And by the way, not only would, you know, if this was today, not only would Paul and Silas have got beat and put in prison, they'd have had all their enemies that just thrust them in prison making videos on YouTube about how they must not be right with God. Because, well, they got thrown in prison, so they must not be right with God. You know, if things aren't going perfectly all the time, then of course, you know, you must be a sinner. You must be wrong. They've got all of that going on. And what does the Bible say in verse 29? And at midnight, Paul and Silas, don't miss this, prayed. Notice the connection, and sang praises unto God. You say, why did they sing praises to God on the day they got cast into prison, on the day they got beat with many stripes? Why did they sing praises to God? I think it was because they sang praises to God every day. And when things were going well, and the gospel was being preached, when the attendance was high, when things were happening, they were praising God. But you know what? On the low days, on the bad days, when the attacks came, I just think they knew they were supposed to praise God every day. They were just coming to God every day. And you know, this ought to be a challenge to us, especially during this Thanksgiving time, that we always should have something to praise God for. And I want you to notice, look at the last part of verse 29. And the prisoners heard them. Notice the testimony. Listen to me. You and I ruin the testimony to our friends and our family and our neighbors when we begin to complain and whine and doubt God during the bad times. During the bad times is when your family and your friends and your co-workers, they need to see you praising God. We don't read a lot about Job praising God when everything's going great, but we sure do hear a lot of sermons of him praising God when things were not going well. And look, when you're in prison, when you've been attacked, when you're getting beat with the stripes, that's the moment to say, praise the Lord. That's the moment to sing praises to God. That's not the moment to start complaining and whining and saying, well, why me? And listen to me. And I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm just telling you, whenever you ask questions like, why me? That question is filled with pride. Why you? Why not you? You deserve to go to hell. I mean, why? Why are you putting me through this? Look, we talked about it this morning. If I don't die and go to hell and everything else goes, you know, crazy, I've gotten more than I deserve. If I don't die and go to hell, look, if I am poor and broke and lonely and a failure at life and I go to heaven when I die, I've gotten more than I deserve. God's been good to me. I've got something to praise God for. I heard somebody say that they were going through a historic tombstone, a cemetery, looking at the tombstones from the 1800s. And there seems, in this little town they were in, it seems like some sort of a plague or something had to have gone through the town, because just tombstone after tombstone after tombstone had, you know, names of people, and it said, you know, lived 3 days, lived 3 weeks, lived 1 month, lived 4 days, lived 1 week. And, you know, one of those tombstones said, lived, it had the name of a child, and it said, lived 3 weeks. And underneath, inscribed into that tombstone was this: we cannot, Lord, thy purpose see, but we know all that is done by, we cannot, Lord, thy purpose see, but we know all is well that is done by thee. We cannot, Lord, thy purpose see, but we know all is well that is done by thee. Could you imagine bearing a baby and saying, we cannot, Lord, thy purpose see, but we know all is well that is done by thee? You say, why would somebody say that? I think that Christian was probably just praising God every day. You say, well, I wouldn't have anything to praise God for after, you know, taking my child after 3 weeks. But hey, you've got 3 weeks to praise the God that he gave you a child. You can praise the Lord that you're going to see that child in heaven one day. Amen. You say, well, I don't understand it. We don't understand it, but here's what we know. God wants you to praise his name every day. God wants you to praise the Lord every day. And it's easy on the good days, but it must also be done on the bad days, on the low days, on the days when we find ourselves in trials and tribulations. So what should we do every day? Well, number one, read the Bible every day. Number two, spend time in prayer every day, daily. Number three, praise God daily. Number four, you're there in Acts, go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, look at verse 42. What's the fourth thing we should do every day? We should spread the gospel daily. Spread the gospel daily. Acts 5:42. The Bible says this, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that the church there in Jerusalem had a daily in the temple and in every house ministry. Every day the gospel was being preached. Acts chapter 2, look at verse 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Acts 2:47 says this, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And look, I'm not preaching here that you're supposed to go soul winning every day, okay? Obviously, I don't think people should go soul winning every day unless you just have nothing to do all day long. You know, I think people should have a time when they go soul winning on a regular basis. Of course, we teach that and believe that. I believe that this can be accomplished more collectively as a church. You know, and I believe that's what was happening in the book of Acts. Not that one individual was necessarily going out soul winning every day, but the entire church collectively was out soul winning. And look, one day, Lord willing, it'd be great if we had a soul winning time every day of the week at Verity Baptist Church that people went to and went soul winning to. That'd be great. But I think the idea is more this, that we should make sure that we don't have this kind of thinking in our head where soul winning only gets done on Saturday morning. Because that's my soul winning time, so that's the only time I go soul winning, Saturday morning. Or soul winning only gets done on Thursdays at 2 p.m. Because that's my soul winning time, that's the only time I preach the gospel. Or soul winning only gets done on Sunday at 2 p.m. That's my soul winning time, that's when I go. You know, we should be willing to preach the gospel every day. Because sometimes you may come across someone, you may have one of those divine appointments where you meet someone, you come across with someone, and you maybe begin to talk to them, and somehow the conversation leads where you can present them the gospel. And I would encourage you to have a mentality where you would say, Lord, every day I'm willing to preach the gospel. Every day, you know, whether it's at work. I remember when I was in the Air Force, there were so many times where, I mean, there's probably five or six different guys that I worked with that I was able to talk to them, you know, and sometimes we'd start talking about something and I'd say, hey, you know, you got some time during your lunch break, and we'd have lunch together and I'd preach the gospel to them. I tried not to preach the gospel while we were working because we're supposed to be working, but maybe after work or before work or something like that. Just have an attitude where you're willing to give the gospel every day, where you're willing to spread the gospel every day. When you have those divine appointments where you would be willing to go and preach the gospel. And look, I realize that, you know, for some of you, I'm not going to sit here and try to guilt you into, you got to be talking to someone every day. You know, some of you are just not going to run into, you know, if you're a homeschool mom and you're just home all day, you're probably not going to run to anybody, you know, all the time to people to give the gospel to. You know, I work here at church. We've got 2 full-time staff people. I try to give them the gospel every lunch break, you know. I'm trying to get them saved. I'm working on them, you know, I'm inviting them to Family and Friend Day, but it doesn't always work all the time. But you know, sometimes you run into people, sometimes you come across people, or sometimes, you know, even, you know, Carrie, we got those little business cards with the Bible's Way to Heaven, you know, QR code, you can scan it and watch the video. Yeah, I encourage you to carry those with you. Maybe you're going through a drive-thru, you don't have time to give the gospel. Please don't try to give the gospel to the lady in the drive-thru window. You know, there's 13 cars behind you honking. You know, you're giving us a bad name, all right? But give him a card and say, hey, there's a video here, 7 minutes long. You should watch it. We should always have an attitude where we want to spread the gospel daily if we can, collectively. So number one, read the Bible daily. Number two, spend time in prayer daily. Number three, praise God daily. Number four, spread the gospel daily. Number five, go to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 3. If you start at the end of the New Testament and you head back, you got the book of Revelation, Jude, 32nd, 1 John, 2nd, 1 Peter, James, and then you've got the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 3, and look at verse number 13. Hebrews chapter number 3 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter number 3 and verse 13. Notice what the Bible says. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Here we're told that we should exhort one another daily. Exhort one another daily. Now, what does that mean? Well, you know, number one, the fact that it's talking about doing it every day, you know, the main people that you should be exhorting every day is your own family. And what does it mean to exhort? Exhort means to strongly encourage or urge someone to do something. You know, your children, you should be exhorting them every day, encouraging them every day. Your spouse, you should be encouraging them every day. You know, I'm not saying that you need to be reaching out to church people every day of the week. All right. In fact, when people are reaching out to church people every day of the week, that's just a major red flag. You know, it's like these people are probably not good people. They're not up to good things. At least every time we've had that issue here, it's always not worked out great. But, you know, the point is that every day you should be willing to encourage someone. You know, even at work, and there may be believers, there may be Christians you have at work, and they're not right on everything, and they're, you know, don't understand everything, but they're really safe. You know, you could encourage them. You could encourage people as you come across their path. Definitely be encouraging your family. But, you know, it is appropriate, because notice what he says. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. You know, sometimes you notice that there's a certain brother or a certain sister, you know, in Christ that maybe is missing, or they're not coming to church, or they're, you know, they may be getting backslidden. You know, they may, I try everything I can to keep tabs on people and watch for people and see things. You know, my wife and I, we send text messages and make phone calls and try to reach out to people. But, you know, after a while, it gets a little old when it's the pastor just keeps, you know, reaching out to you. It'd be good. You notice someone, you know, they might be getting hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It might be good for you to reach out and exhort them. Now, look, and I'm going to say this because people are just not all there sometimes. This is not the way you exhort someone. All right? You know, where you been, brother? You backslidden? Okay, that's not, don't say that. You know, and look, when people haven't been here for a long time and then they show up all of a sudden, don't go up to them, where have you been? Been going to church? That's not helpful. That's not good. You know, just call somebody and say, I miss you. I'm praying for you. I love you. Like to see you soon. You know, encourage them and exhort them. Don't guilt trip them. But you know, it'd be great for you if you notice someone, you have a relationship with someone, and they're slipping a little bit. Maybe you realize that there's some hardness through deceitfulness of sin. There's some sin creeping into their life. They're getting hardened to some things. They're getting, you know, before they quit on God, maybe you as a friend could exhort one another daily. You know, be watching out for those things. So number one, read the Bible daily. Number two, spend time in prayer daily. Number three, praise God daily. Number four, spread the gospel daily. Number five, exhort one another daily. Number six, this is the last one. Go to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number nine. Luke chapter nine. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter nine. Here's number six, die to self daily. Die to self daily. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, notice what the Bible says. Luke 9, 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, notice what he says, let him deny himself. And that's what die to self means. Doesn't mean you go cut yourself or do something weird, all right? When we talk about dying to self daily, we're talking about denying yourself, denying your flesh, denying your will. Let him deny himself, take up his cross. What's the cross is an instrument of death. And he's not talking about literally here, okay, like in the Philippines where those people crucify themselves. That's not what we're talking about. He's talking about figuratively, you should every day put yourself on that cross and every day deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. He's saying, look, every day, here's what he's saying. You cannot follow Christ every day without denying yourself every day. Every day there are two wills, yours and the will of God, yours and the will of Christ. And you either choose to deny self, to die to self and follow Christ, or you choose to follow self and you deny Christ. You should die to self daily. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. You got Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15. And let me say this. This idea of dying to self daily, that's really the key to the rest. Because let's just be honest. Sometimes you wake up and you don't want to read the Bible. But isn't that true? Sometimes you just read the Bible out of duty and character because you love God. But sometimes you wake up, I wake up and I'm excited to get in the Word. And sometimes I wake up and I'm like, oh. You know, and you know, that's just the honest truth. I think all of us are like that. You're not always excited to spend time in prayer. You don't always want to praise God. Especially when you're in prison. You don't always want to spread the gospel. You don't always want to exhort one another. What's the key to doing these things? The key is to first die to self. Every day to wake up and say, you know what? I'm dying to myself today. I'm dying to my will today. I'm going to submit myself to the will of God. 1 Corinthians 15:31, one of those secrets, I believe, to the success of the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 14:31, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice what he says. He says, I die daily. He says, I die daily. So why was Paul such a successful Christian? I believe because every day he woke up and he said, today I die to self. Not my will, but thine be done. Today I put myself on the cross, figuratively speaking. I deny myself. I take up my cross and I'm going to follow him. You must learn to die daily. You must learn to deny yourself. And that's really the key to the rest. If you're struggling with Bible reading, it's because you're not denying yourself. If you're struggling with prayer times, because you're not denying yourself. If you're being ungrateful and not praising God during the hard times, it's because you're not denying yourself. It's because you're filled with self. If you're not spreading the gospel, not denying yourself. Not exhorting one another, it's not dying daily. We gotta die to self daily. Now go back to Psalm 68. We're gonna finish up in Psalm 68. But let me just give you some last thoughts on this idea of daily. Daily. And I might have missed something. Maybe there's more in Scripture that God tells us to do every day. Those are just the things I found. Read the Bible daily. Spend time in prayer daily. Praise God daily. Spread the gospel daily. Hopefully we can do that collectively as a group. Exhort one another daily. Diet us off daily. Let me say this. Why have, so let's ask this question. Let's answer this question. Why have a daily Christianity? Because you know, most people have a Sunday Christianity. Sunday's God's day. The rest is mine. Sunday morning is God, and then the rest of the week is all mine. This is a little extreme. Be prepared. When you wake up every day and say, today I'm living for God, your family is going to say, you're in a cult. You're extreme. You know, why are you reading the Bible? It's Monday. You already went to church twice yesterday. Why are you praying? It's Tuesday. Why are you going soul winning? It's Thursday. You know, they're going to think you're crazy. It's a little extreme to have a daily Christianity. But you know what? God wants you to acknowledge him every day. And God is not just the God of Sunday. He's the God of Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And you don't just belong to him on Sunday. You belong to him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. But here's the question. Why have a daily Christianity? Why? And the answer is this. Because there must be balance in the Christian life. That's why. There must be balance in the Christian life. And when I think of this, I think of like a wheel. Think of a wheel with spokes. For that wheel to be balanced, for that wheel to be able to do what it's supposed to do and roll, every spoke on that wheel has to be balanced. You can't have one spoke that's this long and one spoke that's this long and think that wheel is going to roll. Now look, some of you, your prayer spokes like this, and your YouTube spoke that's not even mentioned in scriptures like this. And you wonder why you can't get any traction in your Christian life. Because there's no balance. Your Bible reading spoke needs to be like this. And your prayer spoke needs to be like this. And your encouraging spoke, and your praising God spoke, and your spreading the gospel spoke. We need a Christian life that is balanced. That is balanced in all areas. That we spend time in a balanced way in the way that God has called us to do. But let me say this. Why have a daily Christianity? Well, number one, because of the fact that it brings balance to our lives. And you need balance. You need to make sure you don't have an extreme. Look, honestly, there are some people that have an extreme. You know, you read a lot of Bible, but you don't spend time in prayer. That's not what God wants. God wants you to read the Bible. He also wants you in prayer. You got people, you know, they read the Bible, but they don't go to church. That's not what God wants. We need to be balanced in our lives. But let me say this also. Why have a daily Christianity? It really comes down to this. Because God is good to us daily. Isn't that true? I mean, God is good to you every day. We talked about it this morning, you know. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. So we should give him every day. Are you there in Psalm 68? Look at verse 19. Psalm 68, 19. We're done right here. Psalm 68, 19. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. I love this phrase. You got to underline this in your Bible. Who daily loadeth us with benefits. Isn't that true? Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. See, you ought to wake up tomorrow morning and say, I got breath. The Lord daily loadeth me with benefits. And because God is good to me every day, I'm going to give myself to God today and the next day and the next day. And when you begin to do these things every day, read the Bible, pray, praise God, spread the gospel, exhort one another, die to self, you'll begin to develop a balanced Christian life. So why? Because he daily loadeth us with benefits. So we should give ourselves to him on a daily basis. Let's bow our head to have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the Bible. I know it's a basic sermon. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to have Christians that have balanced lives. Lives that are balanced. Wheels that are not out of balance with spokes that are larger than other parts of our life. Lord, make sure that we help us to just realize there are things you want us to do every day. Help us to do those. Help us to be consistent. Help us to die to self, Lord. That's where it starts. Help us to die to self every day. Every day to wake up and tell ourselves, the flesh is not in control. I will walk in the Spirit today. We love you, Father. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.